Welcome to the program God and Country, where we look at political, economic, social issues in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, and let's get right into it today. Today's program is about North Korea. Why North Korea? Because in God's plan and providence, God has allowed certain nations to be showcases of evil. Lest anyone forget what the world would look like if Christianity was totally removed, and what it would look like if man was given total rule. And we need to pay attention to what God is trying to show us in this world. If we don't, the suffering of 25 million North Koreans is somewhat wasted. Everyone serves some purpose, even if it's to be a bad example. And God is leaving a testimony to the world in this evil empire, the People's Republic of North Korea. This program is dedicated to a people living in chains, that others may hear of their plight and learn. First, a brief history of North Korea. The situation today is the fallout from the Soviet communists, World War II, and the Cold War. The Korean Peninsula was one empire until it was invaded and ruled by Japan in 1910. After World War II in 1945, Korea was divided into two occupied zones. The north half was occupied by the Soviet Union, the southern half occupied by the United States. The Soviet Union under Stalin, for a long time, wanted to make Korea a communist country and add it to the Soviet Union. The goal of the Soviet Union was to spread communism throughout the world. So the United States stepped in and worked out an agreement that both the Soviet Union and the United States would occupy the country and soon allow Koreans to set up their own government. The United States had the upper hand and should never have let the Soviet Union occupy the North. Now, of course, when the time came to create a unified Korea, the Soviet Union refused to hold national elections. They set up a communist state in the north, and the United States set up a democratic state in the south. Each side claimed ownership of the entire Korean Peninsula, and in 1950, the Korean War broke out. The north, being supplied by the Soviets, made the first attack. Here, the Koreans had just become free from Japanese rule, and now they're fighting each other. Well, the war ended in July of 1953, with an armistice, not a peace treaty. Rumor has it that President Eisenhower got the North Koreans to agree to the armistice by threatening to use nuclear weapons on North Korea. The North had to give in. And now you know why, for the last 60 years, North Korea has been intent on one thing: the development of a nuclear arsenal and a missile delivery system. They remember having their backs up against the wall, and they never again want to be left unarmed at the negotiating table. Now, last month, the U.S. military and the South Korean military participated in joint military exercises. They do this often. Also last month, the U.S. was pushing the U.N. to increase sanctions on North Korea because of its February 12th nuclear tests. Of course, North Korea had to respond, and they threatened to cancel the 1953 armistice that ended the Korean War. Now, this was just saber-rattling on the part of North Korea, but it's no small thing. Because the leadership of North Korea is evil, and evil is irrational, you never know what North Korea might do when eventually it must succumb to economic and social collapse, which will someday take place. So what we have is one people divided into two nations. One, a showcase for communism. The other, a showcase for democracy. This is the political scientist's dream. Let's do an experiment. If you think communism is so superior, you take half the people and run your country according to communism, the totalitarian state being above the individual. I'll take the other half and run it according to democracy, individual rights and freedom. Imagine if we did this in America. 25 states can become their own country and follow everything that the Democrats want in their socialist platform. total cradle-to-grave government services, unionization of all businesses, government ownership of large businesses, 50% of GDP being run by the government. Then we'll take the other 25 states and follow every principle of free enterprise, economic liberty. What would each country look like after 60 years? Well, you don't have to wonder. It is shown for us in North and South Korea. The gross domestic product of North Korea is $32 billion. The gross domestic product of South Korea is $1.5 trillion. Not just 2 or 4 or 10 times greater than North Korea, but 50 times greater. South Korea has gone from being one of the poorest countries in the world to one of the richest. Yearly income per person in North Korea is $1,800. Yearly income per person in South Korea is $23,000. North Koreans are 4 to 5 inches shorter than South Koreans because of malnutrition. The cities of North Korea are old and stale. South Korea is shiny and clean. The spirit of the people in North Korea is that of government-controlled drones. Fear, sadness, meanness, indifference. While in South Korea, there is joy and hope and happiness and a liberated spirit. Yet despite this showcase, the Communist Party is still alive and well in America and in Europe and in South America. Now, how can that be? The politicians are still pushing for the very principles of communism and socialism that have destroyed country after country. The leftist ideology never dies because tyranny, economic and social, and the power of the state is the nature of fallen man. Liberty is only the principle of Christianity. Now, by the way, would liberals ever want to divide America into an experiment between liberalism and conservatism? Never. Because for all of their complaints about conservative economic and social policy, they know they would never survive without it. Evil can only exist as a parasite off of the good. Even the Soviet Union, it survived for 70 years by burning up all of the moral capital left over from Christianity. But after that, it was economically and morally bankrupt. And this is why the border between North and South Korea is so heavily armed. Not to keep foreigners out of North Korea, but to keep the people in. Because if the people were given freedom, everyone would leave. At least everyone who's not part of the Communist Party apparatus. And the communist leaders can't have their workers leave because they live as parasites off of the workers. The lie is that the state is taking care of them, but in reality, it is bureaucrats living off of them. Does this sound familiar? It's the same propaganda coming from social bureaucrats in America. They want to control and confine the people so that they can live off of them. But I want us to see something else that is not talked about. North and South Korea are not really a showcase for communism and democracy as much as a showcase between secular humanism and Christianity. Secularists always make the mistake of believing the key to success in America is the economic system. And that's why conservative secularists think that the answer to all of our problems is free market capitalism. They put the cart before the horse. The real issue is theological. The political systems chosen by North Korea and South Korea are not the root, but the fruit of a deeper ideology. The political systems don't make the country, the theology does, and the systems follow. Christianity moves a people toward a political system of liberty and freedom, and that produces economic prosperity. Secular humanism always moves a people toward a totalitarian political system, and that produces poverty. Now, North Korea believes in God, but that God is man. And so it's a rule by man. South Korea believes in God, the creator of heaven and earth. And so it's ruled by God's higher laws, rights that come from God. For we are endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. South Korea has one of the most active Christian communities in the world. And the secret of South Korea's success has been its Christianity, not its democracy. If South Koreans were not Christian, the country would not have stayed democratic. 30% of the South Korean population claim the Christian faith, and this is mostly Protestant. Christian missionaries to South Korea in the late 19th century and 20th century were well received and had tremendous success. And there are Christian churches all over South Korea, and visitors are surprised at the number of church steeples throughout the cities. South Korea is now a missionary sending country. It is second only to the United States in the number of missionaries it sends out. And it may soon overtake the United States. But now let's look at North Korea. For it is a showcase to the world for the pure political expression of secular humanism. And I want it to be the testimony that it ought to be, so that all unbelievers in the world will see where they are heading. This is Satan showing his cards. Now, the first thing to notice about North Korea is the propaganda that is part of secular humanism. Satan cannot sell his kingdom without lies. Otherwise, nobody would want it. Jesus describes Satan and all of his followers as the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And although fallen people love evil, they don't like the results. So the results have to be hidden. Hence, propaganda. Back in February, the governor of New Mexico and Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, and some other business leaders visited North Korea. They called it a humanitarian business mission. Schmidt was urging North Korea to open up the internet and to start using cell phones. North Korea has the tightest controls on information. They cannot afford to let their people know what's going on in the rest of the world. But the interesting part of the story is this. Eric Smith's daughter blogged about her visit with her father to North Korea. She reported how the delegation had to be accompanied by guards. Every room was bugged. The optics were all staged by the government. Nothing was real. The delegation visited the university library, where the students were staring at 90 computer screens. She could tell by the way the students were viewing the screens and handling the mouse that the whole thing was staged. She writes, "Were they really students? Did our handlers honestly think we bought it? Did they even care? Photo op and tour complete, maybe they dismantled the whole set and everybody went home." She writes, "Ordinary Koreans live in a near total information bubble. The best description we could come up with? It's like the Truman Show at a countrywide scale. I can't think of any reaction except absolute sympathy. My understanding is that North Koreans are taught to believe that they're lucky to be in North Korea. So why would they ever want to leave? They are hostages in their own country without any real consciousness of it. The only art and music are government approved. It's nearly impossible to imagine living in such conditions with no internet, no privacy, and government-sponsored news. Trucks equipped with loudspeakers roam the streets, spreading propaganda." Well, this young lady's testimony speaks volumes about the nature of evil and what the world would look like without the liberty of the gospel. Truth cannot exist with evil. Evil cannot exist with truth. And evil is all about remaking reality according to one's desires. Paul refers to this condition, typical of the lost, as the hypocrisy of liars. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. "In the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." And that's why it's so offensive to any kind of Christian truth that a government would be involved in propaganda, that our current administration would pass out white lab coats to an audience before the president while he was promoting his healthcare legislation. The pictures were all taken, and they wanted to give the image that medical professionals were behind the president's healthcare plan. The president also stages photo ops with children. And this is no small thing. It harkens back to the old Stalinist propaganda machine. And it's the same kind of propaganda that was used in Nazi Germany by Joseph Goebbels, the minister of propaganda. And this is something you always see in totalitarian states. But what's scary is that liberals don't see anything wrong with this kind of lying. In fact, they simply call it advertising, or the ends justify the means. Furthermore, the problem with unprincipled leaders is not only do they project false goodness and lie about economic success and prosperity, but on the other side, they also hide evil. There's no transparency. Everyone in the administration covers each other's back. Nobody criticizes the leader, and the members of the media are blacklisted if they dare criticize the fearless leader. I was recently reading a piece about Nixon's impeachment, and what was good to see was that at least in those days, the Justice Department would go after the president. The very fact that Nixon knew about the buggings called for prosecution. And I wonder if that would even be possible today. As our country moves away from Christian values, government officials now work to cover up unlawful activities and mistakes. But these kind of political lies and propaganda and cover-ups are totally abhorrent to Christian civil government. And what you see in North Korea is the way leaders of all governments would act if there was no Christianity. Now consider a second lesson we can learn from North Korea. The uncanny, eerie worship of leaders in a totalitarian state. What is with the leftists and their veneration of dictators? Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, his father died 2 years ago. His body is encased in glass and venerated just like the body of Stalin. Stalin was one of the most brutal murderers of all history. And yet at his funeral, 2 million people showed up to honor him. Even today, a recent survey shows that 49% of Russians still believe Stalin was a good leader. Hugo Chavez, the communist leader of Venezuela, died last month. He was a man who destroyed the economy of the country. He hung around with dictators like Castro, Assad of Syria, Ahmadinejad of Iran. Yet when Chavez died, the political left was heaping praise on this man. The UN Commission for Human Rights had a moment of silence to honor him. One popular celebrity stated that in the death of Chavez, the world's poor had lost a champion. Did Chavez help the poor? Well, he said so outwardly. His policies to help the poor were to nationalize businesses, to do away with private property. But he also paid himself $2 billion out of the public treasury. He was a hypocrite. I heard one commentator state that the reason liberals give tyrants and power-hungry leaders a pass is because they judge people based on intentions rather than results. Well, that's a possibility. But I would add to this that the reason liberals judge people based on intention rather than results is because they're naive. One of the side effects of being spiritually lost is naivety. Because if one is in denial about one's own sin, one will be in denial about the sins of others. What do we know is the nature of man outside of Christ? Romans chapter 3. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. Now, does the world believe this? Absolutely not. If at all, only in part. And in their unbelief, they will be naive concerning evil and evil leaders. But the second reason for the left's infatuation with tyrants is even more troubling. They are united spiritually with evil leaders. As Jesus told the Pharisees in his day, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus was telling the leadership of Israel that they were not spiritually united with the godly patriarch Abraham, but with Lucifer. And therefore, they will have the same nature, the same lying and murderous heart as Lucifer. And this explains the inexplicable camaraderie unsaved people have with evil leaders. It's because they're of the same spirit. So the world has loved the Antichrist down through history. The deification of human leadership is indicative of a secular totalitarian state. For example, Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold, the height of which was 100 feet. It was the image of man, maybe even an image of Nebuchadnezzar himself. And he required everyone in his kingdom to bow down before the image. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. On an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, "The voice of a god and not of man." Notice that it's not just the leaders themselves who consider themselves a god. The pagan populace confers upon their leaders the power and honor of a deity. Atheist secularists still worship a god, but it is not God of heaven, it is man. And the man who receives the worship is the head of state. Oh, but wasn't this just ancient superstition? No, it is happening in modern societies, in any nation that abandons God for secular humanism. In North Korea, the religion is emperor worship. Kim Jong-un has been called a great person born of heaven, the spiritual pillar and the lighthouse of hope. His picture is on billboards across the nation. Kim Il-sung, the founding leader of Communist North Korea, the father of Kim Jong-il, and the grandfather of the current leader, Kim Jong-un, he established a religious political ideology called Chuchi. The communist Koreans knew that they needed a communist religion like that of Karl Marx or Mao Zedong, but with a Korean element. They needed a set of principles to justify and direct government policy. Everyone needs a Bible. If it's not God's Bible, it's Satan's. In 1972, Chuchi replaced Marxist-Leninism in North Korea's constitution as the country's official ideology. According to Kim Il-sung, the Chuchi idea is based on the belief that man is the master of everything and decides everything. Isn't that remarkable? But is this where all humanist people and nations are today? No, most of the humanism in the world is tempered by Christian thought. But again, North Korea is the showcase for where humanism ultimately ends. How serious is Chuchi humanism in North Korea? Well, back in 2005, a human rights investigator interviewed 40 escapees from North Korea. Here is some of what they had to say about the religion. Chuchi is the only religion North Korean people can have. We learn that there are two lives. One is the physical life and the other is the political life. We were taught that the political life was forever, along with the leaders and the party. Therefore, I believe that my political life was more important than my physical life. Just like Christians would believe the opposite, that our spiritual life is much more important than our physical life or our political life. They testified, according to Party Covenant, Article 1, Section 1, all North Koreans are required to worship Kim Il-sung with all our heart and might, even after death. We have to venerate the pictures and the statues of Kim Il-sung. We must hang Kim Il-sung pictures. The pictures indicate that Kim Il-sung is God. And we hang the pictures for the purpose of reminding ourselves that we depend upon him. Hanging portraits of Kim's family is compulsory for every household. The portraits must be hung on the best wall of every home, and nothing else is to be hung under those portraits. Families with high loyalty to the party bow down under the portraits, even when no one is watching. Religious freedom is not allowed in North Korea because it will ruin the deification of Kim Il-sung. Having faith in God is an act of espionage. Only Kim Il-sung is the God of North Korea. Chichu is itself a religion. Therefore, they are very worried that the people may forsake Chichu for Christianity. Well, that's the first-hand testimony. North Korea showcases for all to see the worship of man and the worship of the state. Christians will never give the authority that belongs to God over to man. Christians will not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. In Christianity, all men are created equal, and no man is to receive the honor that belongs to God. And that is why early Christians were thrown to the lions, because they would not give divine honors to the emperor, but confess that Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In ancient Greece and Rome, the state was the highest object in life. In Plato's ideal, the state is everything and is to own everything, even children. So what we need to be aware of in our country is that the more America abandons Jesus Christ, the more we will see the state being admired and exalted, and the more political leaders will be worshipped and admired as messiahs. Now, people may say that would never happen in America, but it will, and we're already seeing it happen. Now, one final element that is showcased by North Korea, and that is the bondage that comes from secular humanism. North Korea has a network of prison camps holding 250,000 people. Satellite images show that these prison camps are growing. Even the UN admits that these are places of rape and torture, executions, slave labor. Those who have escaped and defected from North Korea tell of the horrors of these prison camps, but of course, North Korean officials deny their existence. North Korea is so evil that it even passes sentences across generations. If you're accused of a crime, then your children and grandchildren may also have to go to prison. So there are people in Korean prisons who know of no other life than the life of prison. As far as they know, this is the way the entire world lives. And North Korea is most likely the world's number one persecutor of Christians. You will be taken to a prison camp without trial if you're caught in any kind of Christian worship. Now, though I'm talking about the prison camps, I don't want us to miss the truth that the entire nation has the spirit of a prison camp. And it is a prison camp. It's as if you have an entire society made up of prisoners and government enforcers. There is no freedom of movement or freedom of communication. The people live in constant fear of the authorities. And getting back to the original thesis, North Korea is a showcase for all the world to see. Man's rule is the rule of bondage. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, those who are in Satan's kingdom are subject to slavery all of their lives. But the good news is that God has not left us to our own devices, but he has provided salvation for those who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel simply is this in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. I pray that you see the evil and that you run to Jesus Christ for salvation and receive that inheritance by faith. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Go to our website at godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to or download this program or other past programs. Send us an email and we will put you on our weekly email, giving you a synopsis of the upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, having seen the darkness, we cling to you all the more. Help us in this mission to expose the deeds of darkness and to offer to people the light of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.